continue our celebration of the Feast of Theophany. We begin on Thursday evening. It is why we still hear that him when thou, Lord, was baptized in the Jordan. We still continue this celebration actually through January 14th. And I want to speak to you this morning about Theophany, what it is, and about what it means. Because it's one of the most important feasts in the church. In fact, historically, it was the third most important feast. The first being, of course, the Feast of Feasts, Holy Pascha, the second being Pentecost, and the third being Theophany. And I know that for most of you that would be surprising because we think that Christmas would make that list of the top three, but historically it hasn't, and I'll speak about that a little bit this morning. Theophany means the appearance of God. And so today, during Theophany, we celebrate this appearance of God through Christ, through the one who was incarnate. And actually, in the early church, many scholars argue that the feast of what we now call Christmas and the feast of Theophany was one great feast that was celebrated together. But the emphasis was more on what we today call Theophany, this appearance of God. And we see the revelation of the Holy Trinity in Christ's baptism. And we hear about it because Jesus, of course, there, the Son of God, is the one being baptized. And he's proclaimed, "Beloved, this is my beloved Son, by the voice of the Father." And then the Spirit is represented by the dove who descends down upon this baptism, down upon Jesus, showing that he was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And so this is why we call the feast Theophany, the appearance of God, the appearance specifically of God in the Holy Trinity. In addition, during this feast, many people might ask, as John the Baptist even seemed to ask, "Why would I baptize you, Jesus, the one who's not in need of baptism? You're the one that should be baptizing me." But we profess that Jesus was baptized not because he needed baptism, not because he needed cleansing, but because by his baptism, he cleansed the waters for our own baptism. And through water, through the cleansing of the water in a much broader sense, and again we get back to the feast of Christmas, the incarnation of Christ, of God in the flesh, I should say, through Jesus Christ, we see the sanctification of all creation, of all matter, so to speak, in this world. And that's why we as Christians are not dualists. We don't see the body versus the soul. We understand the human being as holistic. We understand that matter, that the things of this world are not inherently bad or somehow opposed to the soul or to the spirit, but they're used for spiritual things. And that's why we see in all of our sacraments the things of this world being transformed, being used by God for our benefit. We see it in baptism, again with the waters having been cleansed by Christ, that we are purified through them. We see it in chrismation with the oil that's used to anoint us, a thing of this world. We'll experience it, those of us who are Orthodox Christians, will experience it when we receive the Holy Eucharist, the bread and the wine, the very basic material goods of this world that are used for human consumption, for food, are transformed by God for his purposes. And so when we celebrate Theophany, this is what we celebrate. But in addition to that, what's also often forgotten in our celebration of Theophany that's just as important, if not more important, and is the reason why the church celebrated Theophany even more so than Christmas, is because it is the beginning of the ministry, the public ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, it's the beginning of his teaching, which is so central to us as Christians, and specifically as Orthodox Christians. Many of us may not think about it that often or may not realize it, but all of the actions that we do during the Divine Liturgy are reflecting something deeper about our faith. There's a reason why we process with the Gospel this morning and gather here and enter in with the Gospel. It's because we're gathered around the teaching. And that Gospel book is placed on the center of the Holy Table. And we sense around it, sensing the teaching, in essence, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as a reminder that we ought to always honor and respect that teaching. It should be the center of the way that we live our lives. And it's, again, it can be shocking to us how little the church early on celebrated Christmas, but instead focused on the beginning of the public ministry of Jesus. In fact, in Mark's Gospel, you'll notice, if you look at it closely, there is no mention of Jesus' birth. It just goes right in and begins with his baptism and with his public ministry. Mark being the first, actually, scholars tell us, the first chronologically speaking Gospel to be written. So the emphasis for us as Christians should always be on the teaching of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I know in many other homilies that I have shared with you in the past, and I'm sure if God gives me the length of days, we'll share in the future more about his teaching. But the essence of his teaching, let us never forget, because it's so often forgotten, overlooked, or neglected by Christians today. The essence of his teaching is what we hear and what we call properly the Lord's Prayer. The prayer that he gave us, that he told us to repeat, the prayer that we'll repeat in 20 or 30 minutes here in the Divine Liturgy. Our Father who art in heaven, it begins. And it says, forgive us our trespasses. The most correct translation, forgive us our trespasses as we are forgiving those who trespass against us. Or as we often say, it's fine enough translation, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. This is a teaching, brothers and sisters, that puts us, in a sense, in a bind. But it's a good bind. It's a bind that ultimately frees us. But it's a deal that we have to make with God if we are following his teaching. That if we are accepting his forgiveness that he offers to us, we have to, at the same time, offer forgiveness to others. And as he teaches elsewhere, most especially, we offer forgiveness to our enemies. So we have to remember, brothers and sisters, that his teaching is not what Christians often make it out to be. This feel-good story, oh, God forgives me, I've been forgiven, I've been saved, and so forth. None of that. None of that, friends. We forgive, we are forgiven as we forgive others. You cannot forget that second part. You cannot just be forgiven. That's not the end of the story. If it is for you, then you're not truly a Christian. You're not following the teaching of Christ. If you want to accept his forgiveness, if you want to be forgiven of your sins by God, then you must simultaneously forgive those who have sinned against you. That is the essence of his teaching. That he begins, as we celebrate today on this blessed feast of Theophany, and we'll hear more of his teaching, as I said, throughout the year, most especially when we get to the season. It's not that far off, believe it or not, of the preparation for Great Lent and during Great Lent. But let us never forget, as we begin this year, to live according to his teaching. And as we proclaim that he's forgiven us, that we also forgive others, that he may be glorified through us forever and ever. Amen.